Okay, so today's daf is daf pei in Chulin. We are three lines from the top, basically summarizing. Rav Papa comes along to kind of summarize all the implications that we learned yesterday. So we learned yesterday that there is an agreement on one point and a disagreement about another point. The agreement is that choshishin lezera av misafek. We are in doubt whether we consider the paternity of an animal or not. It's up in the air, we're not sure. And therefore, we have to go with the possibility that maybe the father's identity plays a role in the child's identity, and maybe not. And then you have another issue, which is, if we do determine that an animal has a partial identity of either Behema or Chaya, does that mean that the laws of Behema or Chaya relate to it, apply to it? Or no, it has to be full. So the Chachamim say we have a doubt about the paternity, the role of paternity in its effect on the child. But on the side that the father's identity does impact the child, even if that identity is partial, it has a halachic impact. Rabbi Eliezer said, no, the fact that the paternity might have an impact actually takes away, because for all of these mitzvot, you have to be fully one, or fully the other. So now we'll see how it plays out, rather than just talking about it in the abstract. So Amar Papa said, Ilkach, Linyan Kisui Adam Umatanot, when it comes to Kisui Adam. Again, for Kisui Adam, you have to be fully, or you have to be a chaya. You have to be a wild animal. Does that mean it can be partially a wild animal, full wild animal? That's another question. But you have to be a wild animal, chaya. For Matanot, for giving the gifts to the Kohen, you have to be behema. Okay, you only give it from behema, from domesticated animals. So what's the implication? Lo mashkachat ela bitzvi habalat yasha. When are we going to have a machloket between Rabbanan and Rabbi Eliezer? When the father is a deer and the mother is a goat. Why?
Only these two animals.
Yeah. What?
Only these two animals.
It's just giving only an example of behema and chaya. Behema and chaya, but it's using example. Yeah.
One is kodesh.
We're just using one as behema. One is chaya. That's all. So right. So it doesn't necessarily have to be deer. It could be gazelle and sheep. I don't know. But domesticated and chaya. Right. So
could be taken for
a behema is usually one that could be a korban. Right. But it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. In this case, we're talking about they're both chulin. Though they're both chulin. So what's the story? So the ben rabbanan ben rabbi Eliezer, according to both sides, misafkalo ichoshishin lezera av olo. So both of them are in doubt whether paternity plays a role. So what does that mean? Here we're saying the father is a deer, the mother is a goat. So for sure, it's at least part goat. We know that. But the question is it part deer or not? Because the father was a deer. Is it part deer or not? We don't know. Now, v'kamif legi bise v'afilu miktatse. And they're arguing about partial. In other words, the rabbis will say, since there's a possibility that it's partially a deer, okay, it's definitely partially a goat because the mother's a goat. There's a possibility that it's also partially a deer. If it's partially a deer, what would that mean? From the perspective of the Chachamim, what that means is that in the case of Kisui Hadam, covering the blood, you have to cover the blood because you're not, it might be that it's obligated in covering the blood. We're not sure. Normally, you would have to cover the blood then because out of doubt. And if it's on Yom Tov, you won't be able to slaughter this kind of an animal because you can't create a safek about covering blood on Yom Tov. Because if you're going to cover blood on Yom Tov, since it involves moving the dirt and things, it has to be definite. So that will be that. And for Matanot, for the gifts, again, since it's part goat, the Chachamim will say definitely 50% of the Matanot you have to give. The other 50% is in doubt because maybe it's a deer, so you don't give that part. But Rabbi Eliezer will say what? Rabbi Eliezer will say with regard to the covering of the blood, at best, it's only partially a chaya. That's not enough to require covering the blood. You definitely don't have to cover it. At best, it's only, right, there's a possibility, I should say, that it's only partially a goat. Because since the mother's a goat, if we take into account that it's part, that the father's parentage, so then it's only partially a goat, partially a deer. So that means for kisui adam, for covering the blood, being partially a deer is not enough. And forgiving the matanot, being partially a goat, is not enough. So that's why he will say, in both of these cases, you're exempt. Okay, now on the other hand, linyan otovid bino, when it comes to slaughtering a parent and child on the same day, where will the rabbis and Rabbi Eliezer have their machloket? Is mashkachat la ben b'tayi shaba la tzviyah b'mitzvah ba la tiyasha? You'll find it in both cases. Why? Because b'tayi shaba la tzviyah ul li'isua. When it comes to a goat, that where the father is a goat and the mother is a deer. Now remember, the mother being a deer means that normally a deer is not subject to otovid beno. Okay? So, but since maybe, right, the father, maybe we care about the father. So therefore, maybe we have to be worried that otovid beno applies. So the rabbis will say, li'isura, you definitely cannot slaughter this creature and its child on the same day, because maybe it's partially goat, because the father was a goat. So, right? And if you do take the parentage of the father into account, it's partial goat. And partial goat is enough to say that you don't slaughter it and its offspring on the same day. Rabbi Eliezer will say, even according to the side that you take paternity into account, and therefore you'll tell me that this creature in front of me is half deer and it's half goat. Half goat is not enough to apply the prohibition of otovid mino. Rabbi Eliezer says that each time you show that it's half, instead of it obligating you more, it exempts you. Right, exempt, right? Bitzvia balat yasha. And when you have a deer that is the father and the mother is a goat, ulim malkot, there you can even have a situation where you'll give makot for it. Why? Because Rabbanan Zavrei Neinami Dechoshin Zera'av, Sevavilut Miktate Amrinan, Umalkinanle. The rabbi said, listen, this animal's mother is a goat. So for sure, it's at least 50% goat. That's what we just said. Tzvi is a deer.
So the father is a
deer, and the mother is a goat. Right, yeah. Yeah, so if the deer is if the father, so definitely it's what? Goat, right? At least 50% it is goat, correct? So therefore what? The rabbis, whenever they see you have 50%, they say that's enough. That's the threshold. Right. So if the mother, whatever the mother is, for sure it is. So then you can't do otoved beno, and if you do, you'll even get makot for that, because we definitely know it's at least part goat, and that's all you need. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, right? Rabbi Eliezer savar isua ika malkot leka. Rabbi Eliezer will say, true that you can't do it. I'll agree with you that you can't do it. Why? Because he's going to say to you, maybe we don't take parentage of the father into account at all. And really, this is 100% goat. And on the side that it's 100% goat, otoviet bino applies. Right? Because he says it has to be 100%. He'll say, you're right. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer will say, isua ika. Why? He'll say, isua ika dilma in choshishin zera av v'haisem me'al yahu. He'll say, because maybe we only care about the mother. And if we only care about the mother on that side, then it's definitely a goat. So of course otoviet bino applies. On the other side that we do care about the father, malkut leka, we won't have any malkut. Why? Because dilma choshishin lezera av v'sev afilu miktate lo amrinat. In other words, in this case you find that the rabbis will come up with a definite prohibition because the mother is a goat. So therefore it's at least 50% goat. And according to them, that's all you need for a definite prohibition is that it's 50% goat. The only time there might not be a prohibition at all is where the mother is a deer and the father is a goat. Because on the side that we don't care about the father's parentage, this is pure deer. So you have a real safek. You can't do it, but it's a real safek. And on the other hand, when the mother is the goat, so for sure it's at least part goat. According to the rabbis, the fact that it's definitely part goat, it's either 50% or 100% goat, that's enough to say that it definitely, otoviet beno, applies to it. On the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer will say that if it's definitely a goat, you're right. On the side that we don't care about paternity, you're right. So therefore, I have to agree with you. You can't slaughter this and its child on the same day. That's for sure. But Rabbi Eliezer will agree with that, because he'll say, if there is a side that says it's definitely a goat, even Rabbi Eliezer is going to have to agree that out of doubt, you can't do it. But since there's a side that also says that maybe it's only half a goat, and according to Rabbi Eliezer, half is zero. According to the rabbis, half is still real. According to Rabbi Eliezer, half is zero. So since there's a possibility of zero, we wouldn't give makot to the person, because he'll come and say, how can you give me makot? Prove to me that we don't take the father's parentage into account. If you can't prove it to me, then how can you give me makot and say, I definitely did something wrong? Maybe we only go by the mother. Right? That's the whole thing. Maybe we go by the father, and it's only half a goat, and therefore I shouldn't get makot. Okay, so now we say like this. Amar Rav Yehuda. Now we come to a total... So all of the preceding was based on the assumption that the koi is a mix between behema and chaya. And therefore the question is the mother a chaya? Is the father a chaya? Is the mother a behema? Who is the behema? Who is the chaya? And what are the implications? Do we care about the paternity? Do we not care about it? And so on. Does it have to be 100% of something for the status to apply? What about 50%? That's all assuming that it's a mixture. Okay, but now... Rav Yehuda says, "Amar Rav Yehuda, koi boya b'fnei atzmahi." You have the whole wrong idea here. You're assuming that this koi is really a mixture of two things, but it's not. It's just a creature that we don't know what it is. It's either a behema or a chaya. It's not a mix. V'lo echriu b'chachamim imin behemahu hi imin chayai. We just don't know which it is. So it's either definitely one or definitely the other. It's not a mix of the two. It's either one or the other, and therefore everything is just going to be a safek all the time. When it comes to otoviet beno and matanot, it's going to be a safek. It's 100% of a safek. When it comes to otoviet beno kisui adam, it's 100% safek because we just don't know if this is chaya or beima. It's not a mix of the two. It's not maybe half of one and half of the other. Okay, it's definitely one or the other. We just don't know which one. So therefore, we would have to apply the stringencies of both according to this. This is another view of Tanaim. It's machloket Tanaim. What is the koi? Is it a hybrid? Is it one thing?
A new kind of animal.
Right, it's a new kind of animal. We don't know what it is. Rav Nachman amar koi. He says it's not a combination. He's saying forget combination. This animal that you see that you thought it was a combination of deer and goat, it's not. It's just another species. You thought it was deer and goat, but it's not.
And we don't know to associate it with the deer. We don't know.
It's neither one. It's not right. It's either a chaya or a behema. We don't know what.
We don't know.
Exactly. So there's a big difference if you're saying it's definitely A or B versus if you're saying it's a mixture of A and B. It's a mixture of A and B, and we don't know which one is dominant. It's very different. It's a third view saying forget about that. So it's either all one or all the other. So that sometimes will have a lot of that. Actually, is the most stringent view because you're going to have to take everything into account now. The only benefit you get.
You don't know which one to associate.
So you always have to be machmir. So when there's a law of chaya, you're going to have to apply it. When there's a law of beima, you're going to have to apply it. Right. Rav Yehuda. Now, the only difference, the only leniency you'll get is for matanot. You won't have to give anything. Because they'll come and say, well, give me a matanot. You'll say, maybe it's a chaya. Prove that it's not a chaya. Right? Because we always say, ha-motzi me-chaveu alav araya. You have to prove it. Right? Anyway, Rav Nachman amar, koi ze elabar. He says, the koi is just the wild ram. Right? All the koi is talking about is the wild ram. Ketanae. This is actually a machluk. Ketanaim. Koi ze elabar. According to one, it's just the wild. The koi is just a term for the wild ram. Veyesh omrim. In other words, that's just a certain animal that we don't know whether to classify it, okay, as a. Like Rashi says, ayil zachar. It is a male ram. Hagadil bayarim. That grows up in the forest. So it's wild. It's like a buffalo or something. It roams. Okay? V'yesh omrim ze aba min ha'tayish u min ha'tzviya, like we said before. Some say this is... So according to the first one, it says koi ze elabar. It could be, in other words, it's sort of like a chaya, and it's sort of like a behema, because on one hand, it's a ram, but on the other hand, it is wild. Right? Some say that it's the mixture, like we said up to now. It's a combination. Right? Rabbi Yossi omer koi b'ra b'fnei atzmai v'lo echriu b'chachamim im min chaya im min behema. So Rabbi Yossi said, no, it's actually something that we don't know which one it is. We don't know. What? Like Rabbi Yehuda just said before, yeah, he's following this view. That we don't know which category it goes in. V'aban shum v'gamliel omer min behema hi. No, I say it's a type of behema, v'shel bet doshai, ayum megadlin me'en adarim adarim. And you know what? The family of doshai used to have flocks of them. Where they're getting this information, I'm not sure. Either because they don't know which term koi applied to that the rabbis were using. I'm not sure. But the fact is, this also sounds like elabar also might mean that it is a wild ram, meaning it's a behema that roams in the forest. Might agree here with Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, and then we have to figure out what's the machloket between the two of them. But the point is to tell you this, that you have multiple possibilities. You have the possibility that it is just a regular behema. You have the possibility that it is a chaya. You have the possibility that we don't know what it is. And you have the possibility that it's a mixture. Okay? Amar Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Zera said, Amar Rav Safra, Amar Rav Hamnuna, Hane Azei Debala, Kishiro Degabe Mizbeach. These goats of the forest, okay, goats of the outside, wild goats, whatever they are actually kosher for a korban. meaning to say they are behemot, they're not chayot. So even though they run, you know, they run wild outside and they're not domesticated, they are not chayot. Savar lagi adam av Yitzchak. In this, he's agreeing with what Rav Yitzchak says. Ezer behemot mana katuv vetulo. There are 10 animals that the Torah lists in its list of kosher animals. No more than that. And from the fact that you don't see these animals, the Izea Levanon, anywhere in the list, they must fit into one of the categories. And which category should they fit into? Oh, it's a type of goat, because it's called the mountain goat. It's called the forest goat, whatever. Okay? So, Matkiv l'Rav Achabar Yaakov, Rav Achabar Yaakov said, Ve'ema ayal utzvi prat. Maybe when the Torah lists the specific animals, those are details. Kol beima klal. But then in the next pasuk it says kol v'chol beima mefreset parsa, etc. It says all animals. Klal, that's a general. Pratu klal, when you have a detail and then a general. Nasa klal musaf ala prat. What happens? The general adds onto the details. Ikatuva, which means to say there are many, many, many examples. You can't necessarily take this wild goat and assume it fits into the category of goat. Maybe by giving you examples and then saying any animal, what's saying it is, it's trying to say that anything that has the characteristics of these animals, some are chayot, some are behemot, we don't know which is which, right? But if that's true, imken kol hane pratel amali. But if that's true that the Torah just wants to tell you any animals, there are 100 species, they don't all fit into the species on the list, so then why does it give you all those details? Meaning it must fit into one of these 10 categories, period. And what category are we going to fit it into? Wild goats, we're going to say forest goat, fits into izim, goats. And therefore it's a behemah, and therefore you could bring it as a korban. But matzkif la Rav Acha b'ed Ravika. Rav Acha, the son of Ravika, said, v'dil ma'minat de'ako ninu. How do you know it's not the ako on the list? Another animal, we don't really know what it is. Amale Rav Acha b'ed Ravashi. And similarly, Rav Acha, the son of Rav said to Ravashi. V'amale Rav Acha b'ed Avia. Some say it was Rav Acha, the son of Avia, lo Avashi. Dilma mina de te'o, o mina de zamaraninu. Maybe it's a subspecies of one of the chayot on the list. How do you know just because people call it the forest goat that it's really a goat? That's just a word that they use. They also talk about a sea lion. It's not a lion. You know, they have, it's just a term, right? So it doesn't mean that it's necessarily that. Amar le Rav Chanan Rav Avashi. Rav Chanan said to Rav Ashi, "Amemar sherei terbayu." Not only are you're right, because Rav Hamnun was so sure, Amemar was so sure that the wild goats were not goats. He permitted their fat. He permitted their chilev, meaning he's saying it's not a bema, it's a chaya. It's not considered a goat. Not considered a goat. Ba'amin Abba Bredu of Minyamin Barchia. Abba, the son of Minyamin Barchia, asked me Rav Una Barchia.
That's a strong statement.
Yeah, it is. What's the deal making a korban out of one of these wild goats? Meaning, is it considered a beima? If it's considered a beima, you could bring it as a korban. Up till now, Rabbi Yossi and the rabbis only argued about the wild ox. Rabbi Yossi omer min chaya. The rabbi said that the wild ox is an ox. It's a beima. Rabbi Yossi said, it's a chaya, it's a wild animal. Since Unculus translates the word te'o, okay, the te'o, he translates as torbala, which means wild ox. So he's using the word ox. Okay, so therefore, it sounds like it is a behemah. But the fact is, on the list, where does it appear? The te'o appears with the chayot on the list, at the end of the list, not in the beginning. Mina de chayahu. And by the way, most people say that this te'o is the buffalo. Or many, many commentaries say it's the buffalo. They don't know if it's exactly the species of buffalo we have in America, but they say that that's what it's talking about. But these, divrei akol mina de ezninu. In other words, the machlokah between the rabbis and Rabbi Yossi was only about the buffalo or the wild ox. But with regard to these wild goats, everyone agrees they're goats, and therefore you can't eat their chelev, and therefore they could be a korban. Same arguments we saw before. Maybe it's the ako. Maybe it's a type of buffalo. How do you know it's not one of the other things on the list? It could be one of the chayot on the list. It might not be one of the behemot on the list. Amemar was so sure that it was classified as a behema, as a chaya rather, that he permitted its fat to be eaten. So you see there is a legitimate machloket about some of these species, even species that they knew, whether it would be classified as a chaya or a bema, including possibly the koi, also may have been either a chaya or a bema or a mixture. That was the whole discussion. So now we say, so now we come back to the Mishnah finally, ketzad ashochet, etc. Amar Oshaya, Rabbi Oshaya said, Kulamat nitin delak Rabbi Shimon. The beautiful, complicated Mishnah with all of the different cases of the two animals that are both kodashim and they're both inside, one is outside and inside, one is inside and outside, the whole thing that we did a few days ago. All of that is not according to Rabbi Shimon. Why not? Mimai, midikatane, from the fact that it says, kodashim bachutz arishon chayav karet ushneim psulim. Because one of the cases that we had there was that if they're both korbanot and you have them outside the Beit HaMikdash, the first one you're chayav karet, because when you slaughter the mother, let's say, and we're just using that for simplicity, it could be either direction, but I'm just using it to make it simple. Let's say the mother you slaughtered first and it was a korban and you slaughtered it outside the Beit HaMikdash, so you're already chayav karet for korban outside the Beit HaMikdash. And now what did you do? Now you went and slaughtered the son, okay? So it says shneim psulim. They're both pasul, obviously. You get karet for the first one. And so shneim sofgim et arba'im. You don't get karet for the second one. Because since the mother was slaughtered that day, the second one no longer could have been a korban that day. Because it would have had to wait till tomorrow anyway. Right? Now, Michdi, what do you see from Yerusha?
Well, why shneim makot?
Because one for karet. You always get makot for karet things. Yeah, yeah. So that says, Michdi shamina le Rabbi Shimon, damar shechita sheinu yalash shema shechita. Because we learned, according to Rabbi Shimon, any shechita which is no good, which is an unacceptable shechita, is not called a shechita. And in this case, kama miktal katle sheni mitkabel bifnim. Bifnimu. Since the first one you slaughtered outside the Beit HaMikdash, that's not looked at as a shechita at all, according to Rabbi Shimon. It's nothing. You murdered it. There was supposed to be a korban in the Beit HaMikdash. It's not a real shechita what you did. And therefore, the second one, the son, you could even bring into the Beit HaMikdash if you wanted to. Okay, so therefore, karet nami lechayev, yeah. So therefore, you should be chayav karet for both. In other words, when you took the mother, she could have been a korban and you slaughtered her outside the Beit HaMikdash, you got karet for that. And you also did a shechita which is not recognized as a valid shechita because it didn't lead to anything good. So now you take the son. The son, that day, Rabbi Shimon says, you could go into the Beit HaMikdash and offer as a korban.
But it's against the whole argument that we said the son is not ra'ui l'shechita. It's not ra'ui because it's not ra'ui.
Well, that's why I think our Mishnahs are arguing with Rabbi Shimon. Because Rabbi Shimon disagrees with that. It's a different opinion. That's why I said this. Our whole Mishnah is against Rabbi Shimon. That's what I'm saying. That's what I was saying. So Rabbi Shimon is disagreeing. It's a different opinion. Right? So according to him, this is contrary to what we learned before.
Yeah.
Right? Because before we said that if the mother was slaughtered, even though it was invalid, now you can't touch the son that day because it was...
It's not
exactly. And if you did, you wouldn't get karet because you couldn't bring the son as a korban that day. Rabbi Shimon is saying you could because that first slaughtering of the mother, we erase it.
Yeah.
It was nothing. Okay? Now, karet nami lechayev. Also, chulin bifnim, shneim psulim. He's going through all the examples and showing how Rabbi Shimon would disagree. You bring chulin into the Beit HaMikdash, you slaughter the mother and then the child, right? It says, both of them are pasul because you slaughtered chulin bazara. Okay? Vashini soveget arbaim. You don't get makot just for slaughtering chulin in the Beit HaMikdash. So you slaughtered chulin, the mother, in the Beit HaMikdash. That was the wrong thing to do, and you're not allowed to eat the meat, but there's no makot for that. Korn, now you go...
You can give it to the Korn, though.
You're not allowed to eat it.
Nobody.
Yeah, if you slaughter chulin bazara, you can't eat it.
You wasted it.
Now, if the person, because it's not a lo ta'aseh, it's considered really a negating of an aseh. Because if you bring something to the Beit HaMikdash, it should be a korban. So you negated that. Instead, you made a chulin in the Beit HaMikdash.
You didn't do a nice thing.
Right, you did a wrong thing, right. Exactly. So, because the only reason why the Torah allows you to do Shechitan Chulin outside the Beit HaMikdash to begin with is because you couldn't come to the Beit HaMikdash. You're standing right there, you're not making a Korban. What's wrong with you? You know, it's a negation of a positive. Right. So it says, if you have Chulin, the first one is Pasul, the second one is also Pasul, but the second one is Otoviet Beno. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon, it shouldn't be Otoviet Beno because Mechti Shamina Lil Rabbi Shimon, Dabash Shechita Shenavu Yalash Mashchita. Now, the first one, Kama Miktel Katlei. We said that if a shechita is a worthless shechita, it's not called a shechita at all, according to Rabbi Shimon. And here, the mother was slaughtered chulin bazara. It's totally pasul. So therefore, what do we say? It's not a shechita at all. Right? So that when you slaughter the son, it should also not be considered otoviat beno, because you didn't really do a shechita on the mother. It's not considered shechita what you did. So sheni amai sofeged arba'im. You shouldn't get makot for slaughtering the son. Moreover, kodeshim bifnim arishon kasher upatur v'asheni sofeged arba'im. If you had two korbanot, you did the first one inside, which is correct. You did the mother inside. Inside Beit HaMikdash, offered the mother. That was the right thing to do. Mazal tov, did the right thing. Second one, you went out and he slaughtered it. It said, Sofeget Arba'im, Upasul. Now, obviously, it's Pasul because you slaughtered it outside the Beit HaMikdash. But the question is, Bechdisham, Inan Leitha Rabbi Shimon, Dama Shechita, Shein Huwaya Lashma Shechita. He said, Shechita that is done, that is improper, that is insufficient, is not a Shechita. And Shechitat Kodeshim, Nami, Shechita Shein Huwaya Hi. The Kamad Elazarik Dam, La Mishtere Basar. According to Rabbi Shimon, this is a bigger, even bigger chidush than all of the preceding ones. Not only if you slaughter a korban outside the Beit HaMikdash, is it considered a shechita that's insignificant. Not only if you slaughter chulin in the Beit HaMikdash, is that shechita considered not a shechita. But according to Rabbi Shimon, even a korban that's done properly, it's not considered a shechita. You know why? Because a shechita, according to Rabbi Shimon, is defined when the shechita itself is what permits the meat. But in a korban, the shechita itself doesn't permit the meat. You have to first take the blood and walk over to the Mizbeach and throw it on there. So the shechita itself is insufficient. So therefore we say that the shechita of a korban, even a correctly executed korban, is not a shechita ru'uya for otov yed bino. So basically, it's always going to be, according to Rabbi Shimon, that if the mother, or the first one, let's say, I'm just calling the first one the mother just to make it simpler, right? If the mother was a korban, the son will never be liable for otov yed bino.
No problem.
Right, it will never be. Now why?
In case Rabbi Shimon can get the penalty is if both are chulin and outside. That's the only case.
Pretty much. Yeah. Let's say that for now. It might become more complicated, but yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it becomes more complicated later, but let's leave it at that.
Because Shechita is not even part of those requirements, because Shechita can be...
It's not really Avodah, right.
It can be even done with the Zavis.
You're right.
So he says if Shechita is not part of the Avodah, so Shechita is nothing.
Right. So it's not a core part of the process. Right. You're right, it's a good point. Yeah, so therefore it's a... With Korbanot. Right.
So the no completely goes out the door.
If a korban is involved. Outside, if a korban is involved, yeah. So therefore, what do you see? Amai sofeget arba'im upasul. Right? So what do you see from that? So sheni, amai sofeget arba'im upasul. Really, the second one should not be, should not get makot for that, because since the mother's shechita wasn't really a shechita. Okay, so the son... Right? That's a radical position. It's radical. Right. Rather, we could see that Rabbi Shimon would not agree with our Mishnah. So then the Gemara asks, Pshita, tehachita. Right? So once you made your basic point that any shechita, which is not as really considered a good shechita, doesn't count, why do you have to go through all these examples? Right? So shechitat kodashim itztrichale. The main chidush here is, of course, shechitat kodashim. That even a properly done korban is not considered a shechita. Because salkadat achamina, shechitat kodashim, shechita ruyai. Because you would have thought that shechitat kodashim is perfectly good. You did it right. Da inachar v'zarik dam lo mishtere basar. Because obviously, if you just stunned it, chopped its head off or something like that, and took the blood, it wouldn't be a good korban. So obviously it has to be done through shechita, v'kishachat mishtere basar, and therefore, and only if you do shechita, a proper shechita, is the korban kosher. It's what we call necessary, but not sufficient. Right, necessary, but not sufficient. That's what it's saying. So you might have thought, oh, but at least it's good. It contributes to the process. I mean, you can't say you did something wrong. So therefore what? So you would say, ushchita u'yahi. You might come to the conclusion it is a proper shchita. So kamashmalan. Therefore, he comes to tell you that shchita, it's not considered a shchita because it's not sufficient. It's necessary. That's true, but it's not sufficient. That's a big chidush. No question about it. It's very radical. Okay. Now, velilkina mimishum lavdim chusar zman. Let's ask a more basic question. When you have these cases that we see that the mother is slaughtered, right? And then we say, let's say that they are kodashim bachutz. Or even where the mother is slaughtered inside and it's a good korban, and then you slaughter the child outside. Now you could, according to everyone besides Rabbi Shimon, right? So you you can't slaughter that animal that day as a korban. So we said, well, you're patur from slaughtering when you have the two korbanot. Let's say Rashi says specifically, let's focus on the case where they're inside, outside, inside. Okay, it says let's say the one inside where you slaughter the mother, and she's brought as a korban, and then you slaughter the child. So what did we say? The second one couldn't have been brought as a korban that day. Right? Let's assume they're both inside, Rashi says. Let's assume they're both inside, make it simpler. Right? You did the mother.
You're not
done. So now you can bring the son that day, according to the Chachamim. You can bring a son that day. So if you do slaughter the son, it said you get makot for otoviet beno, but not for slaughtering a korban too early, because really what should you have done?
Wait until tomorrow.
Wait till tomorrow, right. So it says, why don't you get makot for that? Velilki nami mishum lav de mechusar zman. Why don't you get makot for slaughtering a korban when it's too early, right? In each of these cases, like even in all of these cases. So ditani, as we learned, minayin lechol apsulin shebaseh uvelo yeratzeh. How do we know that all of the invalidations of various korbanot come under the heading of lo yeratzeh? It won't be accepted. Meaning, therefore, you shouldn't do it, right? It's a negative commandment. You shouldn't bring improper korbanot. Talmud lomar v'shor v'sesaro v'kalut v'gomer, because it gives a list. It says shor v'sesaro v'kalut that you shouldn't bring. When it has various defects, bodily defects, you shouldn't bring this korbanot. It's to tell you that whatever is pasul in animals, do not bring it to the Beit HaMikdash. And it's a lotaseh, right? So therefore, when you slaughter this otoviet beno, not only are you slaughtering otoviet beno, you're also slaughtering a korban too early. That's a separate chet, a separate sin. So it says, Kika Khashiv Lave de Otoviet Beno. Lave Nuchae Loka Khashiv. You know why it doesn't count it? Because we're focused here on Otoviet Beno. We're only counting the prohibitions of Otoviet Beno. There might be a lot of other prohibitions that you're doing. We're not looking at that. Looking at Otoviet Beno. It's Mechusar Zman, it's too early for the Korban. That you're right. You would get Makot for that also, but we're not counting that. Gemara says, Velo, really? You're not counting that? והקודשים בחוץ תלווינו חיינינו וכך חשיב תקטני קודשים בחוץ הראשון חייב כרת ושניהם סופגין את הרבעים. What do you mean? What do you mean you're only counting otoviet beno? The whole Mishnah was about, oh, you get karet and you get makot for a korban outside the Beit HaMikdash. What does that have to do with otoviet beno? Nothing. You're not only counting otoviet beno. So it says, you're right. Bishlama sheni mishum lav de otoviet beno. You can get away with that example. Say, well, the son you get makot for because otoviet beno. Elo rishon amai sofeg. Why does it mention in the Mishnah that the mother, you get makot for slaughtering the mother, mishum lav de shchutei chutz? It's because of the lav of shchutei chutz, because you slaughtered her outside the Beit HaMikdash. Nothing to do with otoviet beno. So you see that the Mishnah is counting even violations that have nothing to do with otoviet beno. And if it's counting violations that have nothing to do with otoviet beno, why can't it also count the violation of slaughtering the korban when it's too early? It says, kolecha deleka lav de otoviet beno, chashiv lavenu chay, kolecha deika lav de otoviet beno, lo chashiv lavenu chay. Very simple answer. Whenever you have other prohibitions, we already have otoviet beno, we don't have to mention any other violation. Whenever there's no other violation, we mention the other violation. In other words, meaning, to set up the case, what does it have to mention? That you slaughtered the mother first. Or whatever, you slaughtered one of them first, right? And that first one that you slaughtered was okay. So there's no otoviet beno on the first one, obviously, because the other one's alive, right? So what's the only thing we mentioned? Oh, that you slaughtered it outside the Beit HaMikdash, or you slaughtered it in the Beit HaMikdash, or whatever, right? But when you get to the second one, true, there might be other violations, but the only one we're mentioning is the otoviet beno. In the first one, there was no otoviet beno to talk about, so we had to find some other violation to mention. But when we're talking about otoviet beno, we don't need to mention anything else. Oh, but it was also mechusar zman. It was also this, it was also that. We didn't need that. Okay? Then, Rabbi Zera says, Hanach lemechusar zman. I disagree with your fundamental premise. Your fundamental premise is that you should get makot for bringing a korban too early, and that the only reason why it doesn't mention it in the Mishnah is because it has other violations to mention. I disagree. I don't think you get makot for it, because it says, Allah, anachnu mechusar zman. Forget about mechusar zman. De'akatuv nitekol aseh. Because the Torah connected it to something positive. Now, the way that Rashi tries to understand this, all the Rishonim kind of go bonkers on it and say that it doesn't fit with the Gemara very well, and it doesn't fit with the concept of lava nitek laseh very well. So we're just going to go with the standard interpretation, not with Rashi. If you read the Rashi, you'll see it's a little bit confusing the way he does it. But let's for simplicity's sake, we'll go with what Tosfot explains and other Mefarshim explain. My Tama, what's, and it seems like Rashi also had a different version of the text than we have, which makes it more complicated. My Tama, what's the reasoning? From the eighth day and on, an animal that's born, it says, when you have any kind of animal that's born, and it stays with its mother for 7 days, on the, from the eighth day on, you can bring it as a korban, right? That's what it says in the Torah. In whenever you have lava bamiklal asay, what does that mean? A negative that comes from a positive. In other words, it's a positive. It's telling you, bring it from the eighth day on. By implication, I see, I can't bring it before. But it never says, don't bring it in the first 7 days. It says, wait till the eighth day and then bring it. Okay? So it never said, if you do it before that, it's a lo taseh. It just said, do it on the eighth day, implying you shouldn't do it during the other days. But it's not a lo taseh. It never said, al takriv lifnei yom hashmini or whatever. It never said that. So therefore, it's not really a lo taseh. But then the Gemara asks, v'hami bayale le kedrabi aftoriki. Wasn't this a question raised by Rabbi Aftoriki? The Rabbi Aftoriki Ramei. Rabbi Aftoriki showed a contradiction. First, the Pasuk says, for 7 days the animal should be with its mother, implying that right after the seventh day it's already good. Meaning, even at night. From the eighth day and on, it's good. The question is, what is the status of that animal the night before the eighth day? Right? The night before, after 7 days have passed, the eighth day is in the morning, what's the status of the korban at that moment? He says, ha ketzad, laila lektusha, yom lautza'a. The answer is, the night you could already be makdish. After 7 days, you could say about the baby animal, this is going to be a korban tomorrow. But you can't bring it, obviously, until the next day. There's nothing wrong with sanctifying it. Once 7 days have passed, you can consecrate it. Before that, you can't even consecrate it. It won't even work. If you consecrate a three-day-old animal, it won't even work. Right? After the 7 days passed, you could consecrate it. You just can't bring it until the next day. That's the rule. So therefore, what do you see from here? So he's already using this pasuk, miyoma shemini, to tell you that you have to wait until the eighth day. Okay, so we already use the pasuk of Shivat Yamim Tachat Imo, and we already use the pasuk of Miyom HaShemini. So therefore what? Therefore, we need another pasuk to supply us with the rule that by implication, Miyom HaShemini, you can't offer it during the 7 days. He said, you're right. Ketiv Kachrina, Ken Taseh L'Shorcha L'Tzonecha. It says, so shall you do for your ox and for your sheep. In other words, there is a pot, meaning this is the rule, that it should stay with its mother. The rest of the pasuk is, Ken taseh l'shorchal tzonecha shivat yamim yeimimo. And then, Bayom ha-shemini titinoli, another pasuk tells you, wait, leave it 7 days with its mother. On the eighth day, you shall bring it as a korban. In other words, there's two times the Torah says this. One time, according to Aftoriki, it is Rabbi Aftoriki, it's to tell you that after the seventh day you can consecrate, starting from the eighth day you can offer it. Okay, that's one thing. And the other pasuk is coming to tell you that by virtue of the fact that it tells you on the eighth day you should bring it, the implication is that you shouldn't bring it on the preceding 7 days. Okay? So therefore we have two concepts here. We have the concept that you shall bring it on the eighth day, you should not bring it on the 7 days from one pasuk. From the other pasuk we learn that nonetheless, starting from the night after the seventh day, you can already consecrate the korban. But we see that the whole thing is learned from an implication, from a positive. And something we learn from an implication from a positive, we don't give makot for violating it because it never states explicitly, you shall not do. It only explains, you shall do, and we infer from it the negative.